which you so nobly serve comes from destruction, disorder, and chaos. Now take this empty glass. Here it is, peaceful, serene, boring. But if it is destroyed, look at all these little things. So busy now. Notice how each one is useful. What a lovely ballet ensues, so full of form and color. Now, think about all those people that created them. Technicians, engineers, hundreds of people who will be able to feed their children tonight so those children can grow up big and strong and have little teeny-weeny children of their own and so on and so forth. Thus, adding to the great chain of life.
Water. Fruit.
You see, Father, by creating a little destruction,
a cherry,
I'm in fact encouraging life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for downloading the Beacon Podcast. It's been too long, and we're back to blow your mind.
Yes. Nothing can hold you back when you're not holding back a thing. Open arms, we embrace tomorrow. Close this astonishing today. We're not afraid to open our mouths and scream. We believe in what we say. Yeah, welcome back to the Beacon Podcast. We're here. I know you guys probably thought, what the hell? hello. Sorry.
Oh, we're back.
We had an issue. We had a sound issue. There we go.
Hey, that's what happens when you're doing shit live, you know, and real. We don't edit this show. We just fucking do it.
Exactly. I actually had a buddy of mine ask me. He was like, something about doing takes. And I go, no, it's one of the things we're very proud of. On this show, it's all one take.
So we all the dumb shit I say, I go, fuck, that's out there now. There's nothing I could do about it.
Same here.
I said, for like 30 seconds.
It's okay. We got him a shocker collar. So when he says, it gives a little... no, but that's one of the reasons why we feel justified in saying coming at you live. Because we know you're not listening to us right now as we're recording this.
Yeah, because it couldn't happen. It was,
but it's live, but it's recorded. It's like when you see...
It's like Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
It's called live, but it's not fucking live.
Yeah. So, here we are, coming at you live.
It's just fun because, I don't know, it's just a fun thing to say, you know.
Yeah, but we're
also practicing our radio voices.
Hey,
and we're back.
Nick, it's been too long, buddy.
Yes,
how long
sir.
Has it been?
Fucking like months.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's gotta been had to have been like 4 months, dude.
No way. No. Because we did.
I'm gonna look it up.
A Trump show, and then we did a show.
That was the last
Trump.
One we did. Yeah, when Trump fucking.
So he got elected in like November.
Okay.
Damn,
dude.
Holy shit. Well, he got elected in November, but we had a show after that.
It's fucking May right now, bro.
No, it's not May. It's April. We just hit April.
You're right. April 1st. It was April Fool's Day yesterday.
It's like a time warp, man. What happens? I was talking about this with a buddy. What happens with time? The older you get, does time exist differently?
It goes faster.
It feels like it's going fast. Really fast. Like super fast. And that's, I've always wondered, even when I was a kid, like how old people can drive so slow. Well, what if to them, like time is going by really fast?
Yeah.
You know
it's
what
like
I mean?
Like a blur.
Yeah, but to everybody else, it's like, hey, hurry up. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the older you get, there's like, I have heard of something called oxidative stress, like, and that your brain can get like, almost like oxidized throughout time. Are you getting like a buzz?
I got a hum going, but is it the song still kind of finishing
off? No, song's done. And that was a great song. How's that? Still there.
It's still like a fuzz. I hope it's not. It might not be coming through the
hello. Podcast. Hello. I can go super sensitive. Hello. Hi. Too sensitive. I don't know, man.
Hey, this is how we do it, bro. We multitask. We're still doing the show while you're live. Turning knobs and fixing stuff.
I'm trying to like flicker with these little knobs.
Oh, that's kind of fixing
a little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, man. So
it's going to be what's going to be.
It is what it is.
We're going to have so much beautiful knowledge, people aren't even going to notice it.
Yes. It will eclipse the hum.
When your mind is being blown, you don't notice stuff like the foam, you know, the fuzz in the back.
It's your just, mind does not know what's coming in through your ear. The extra little background hum. Yeah. All right, dude. Well, I don't think it's been 4 months, but it's been a long time.
Should I look up the podcast last show?
I mean, if we want to split hairs...
I don't give a shit. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Too long, by the way.
Yes.
But, you know, there's a lot to get caught up on, you know, a lot of life in between that last podcast.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting things. Matt got promotion.
Yep.
His hair's coming back.
But you know what's weird with promotions? It's like you work so hard for the promotion, and then once you have it, you think that it's over, but there's a higher sense of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So
you got to own it.
The time to rest is like you thought it was coming and it's not there.
I've seen guys at work that, you know, they talk shit and they, you know, complain and this and that. And then they finally get the promotion and then they're scared. Like, fuck, dude, what do I do? It's like, you fucking better step up and be game, dude. Cause you've talked a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I complained a lot. Because it's kind of what I do. But I tried to stay like the same person. Like the issues, I tried to be educated about when I do open my mouth. And then, so those issues shouldn't be affected whether I promote or not. You do see certain people promote and they hit like different ranks of different things. And they change who they are, you know. And I don't think that's right either, you know.
Yeah.
It's like... Lincoln said, if you want to see the real character of a man, give him a little bit of power.
Yeah.
Because, man, I've seen that. Some people, when they start getting like power over others, they just become animals.
Yeah. And like I'm a supervisor at my work, and I absolutely haven't changed, you know.
Yeah.
I got to express my ideas more a little bit, you know. But the kid that took my old position, I think... He thought, like, well, I'm a boss now. They just got to do what I say. I go, no, bro, you got to be in the shit with people.
Yeah, see,
it's how you talk to people, dude.
And that's that power thing.
Yeah,
like, he thought it was going to just
wear cool clothes and drive a truck and just drive around. And it's like, that's not what this is, bro. Like, you got to be in it with these guys. I rely on you to fucking report back to me, tell me what's going on, and keep this team going and motivated.
Well, a good leader, I always have thought that a good leader like leads from the front. Like absolutely. They lead by leading. They don't lead by now like barking orders at people. Like,
and give people opportunities. That's the best thing. Like let these guys shine. That was always my thing. Like hey,
give them the tools they need to be good. Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you can't get the right equipment or the best tools, but it's like we're gonna do it with what we got and we're gonna kick ass. And the way I always described it with some of our crew is, or with our job, it's like, some days it's chicken and some days it's feathers. You know, some days you're eating chicken and it's mellow, it's easy and it's good. Other days it's fucking feathers and it's shit. But we'll get through it, you know.
Really?
Earn that chicken, you know.
Damn, is that a common saying?
I don't know, but it just works for me. You know? But I'm lucky to work with some good dudes and... that are young and they want to promote and they're eager. So it's like, give them that fucking, that whatever they got to shine. Like, hey, this is your job, bro. Take it and go.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, because it seems like maybe the younger people need like an impetus for drive a little. They're definitely like every generation is different, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like we were different. Our parents' generation like talk shit about us. They're like, can't believe you know the world's going to hell. And it's like, all right, well, how are we different and what's going on? I feel like the younger generation growing up beneath my generation. I'm now 36.
Whoa.
The generation growing up under me, like say, like maybe like your early 20s right now.
That's the millennial generation.
It definitely is a different, like, definitely a different work ethic. Mm-hmm. I'm almost embarrassed for them when they are trying to act cool at work. Because it's like, all right, this ain't a social place. You're not at the club.
Yeah.
This is a job, and you look like a fool. Like, you look like a fool when you're just trying to look, like, all you care about is looking cool. Like, if you want to just look cool, go be a model or an actor. You're doing the wrong thing if you're just trying to look cool. Like, obviously, you're here to make money.
Well, they literally took the song from Toys R Us and applied it to their life. Like, I just consider them Toys R Us kids. Like, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. You know, yeah. Like, I got guys at work that are in their late 20s, and these are probably people that listen to the show, right? Like, this age group. I'm sorry. But it's not everybody, right? But, like,
I think because
we got, like, late 20s like guys that get in there and they kick ass. Like, they want to get in there, they want to learn the shit, and they want to kick ass.
Yeah.
But I did some studies on managing millennials and stuff, is what it was called.
Oh, interesting.
And I get it. Like, they say they expect more from their bosses, you know, because their parents, they always had everything, right? So they expect more from your boss.
Yeah.
So it's like, now when I plan jobs out, I know that I'm going to get a bunch of questions, and which is fine. And if I don't know, I fucking find out, you know?
Yeah.
But I think sometimes they are a little detached on, like, how things work. They think machinery should just operate like this. The shop should just fix things, and it's just going to be bitching.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that, you know?
Yeah,
like, there's always going to be contingencies on jobs, you know?
Yeah.
There's going to be unforeseen things. But, like, for the most part, the dudes I work with that are late 20s, early 30s, they're getting after it. They're fucking hungry, right?
Yeah.
But they still play video games. They still like superhero movies and stuff. And it's like, and you guys are getting chicks like this? Like I don't know how this works, you know? Uh-huh. But there's one guy, like, he would be a poster child fucking millennial, right? And I feel bad for him. Like, I've gotten through to all these guys, right? Like, giving them opportunities to, like, run equipment or do jobs and give them responsibilities, and they take it. This kid, he is, like, his job is a truck driver. And I feel weird calling him a kid. I'm 35 years old, and he's, like, probably just pushing 30, right?
Okay.
But he plays video games like a kid, gets in these arguments over Superman versus Batman. And I'm going, and this guy is raising kids. Like, you're a man, dude. Like, you're going to have an argument over Superman, motherfucker?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Like, but because in our world, and I'm not excluding my generation, because our generation is just as guilty, but we had it so easy for so long.
Yeah.
Things have not been tough that we have been able to drift off into La La Land a little bit. And people can, you know, really get in, like, crazy arguments about who is a better superhero, Superman or Batman, because, you know, that might be the craziest thing that they had to think about that day.
Yeah.
You know, where, like, you even talk about, like, even today, people in Alaska, you know, like, a lot of these people are like, what? What? No. Hey, shut up. There's fucking crab out there on the fucking deck, and I just lost my greenhorn into the sea.
They're risking their life so we can have crab. Yeah, dude, I wanted to slap this motherfucker the other day, man. Like, not literally, but, you know, I just couldn't. It was like one of those slap in my forehead, like, moments, like, fucks, dude. Like, I'm a pretty sarcastic guy, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
But, and I don't know why. It makes life fun for me, you know? But
they say that's a sign of intelligence.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah. I don't feel intelligent, but I appreciate that. Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, whoever they is. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a roommate in, our other roommate had a girlfriend, and she would always, like, they fuck up everything. They. And he'd always be, like, sitting there quiet. Who's they? Like, give me a fucking example, bitch, you know? So anyways, like, this kid at work that gets in arguments over Superman and Batman, this and that. And, you know, so one of my leadership techniques is to, like, talk to everybody you work with on a monthly basis. Like, try to put in an hour individually with them.
Really?
Like, yeah. Not, like, sit there for an hour and talk to them, but, like, a few minutes here, get to know your employees.
So it's not something that you even schedule. You just make it
a point to just be like, how's it going, dude? What's going on over here, man? That's cool, dude. You did that. That's cool. Thanks for taking the initiative on this part. You know, and it works. It works. The guys want to know that you fucking care about them, you know? And I do. I really do care. But so I got to get in with these guys and talk about comic book movies and stuff. Like, I told them, hey, man, I finally watched the Batman versus Superman movie. I'm going, it was all right, you know, whatever.
But at least you did something for somebody else, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm trying to get in on it and like asking them questions. That's what they're into, and you know, on a personal level, you know.
Yep.
And then mix it in with work, mix it in with that, right? And I'm going, so I guess that new Wolverine movie is pretty badass. Logan, it's supposed to be pretty dope, you know. And all I do is hear these guys argue about Superman's way better, right? I'm going, okay, 30-year-old motherfucker, right?
Damn.
So I go, I have a question.
Are you serious? People are arguing about this?
Yes.
Wow.
And so I go, I mean, this has been since these guys have worked there, right?
Okay.
And it's so bad, like, the rest of the crew
I would have
leaves.
A field day with this.
The rest of the crew just goes, fucking, hey, dude, like, they're back at it, dude. Like, they don't argue angrily, but, like, it's what they're into, right?
That's their philosophical debate.
But they're taking it back to the old fucking comic books, this and that, right? Oh, their favorite actors, their favorite this and that, you know? And don't get me wrong, dude. I loved the fucking Michael Keaton Batman movie, dude. Jack Nicholson Joker. I thought that shit was the bomb.
So they're arguing even like which Batman was the best.
And I'm going, okay, I like the way they did the Christian Bale Batman, but I couldn't listen to him talk
his
like,
voice.
I gotta get to the city. Hey. I gotta save these people. Hey. All we gotta do is get to the Joker and then the Penguin's gonna come. Where's the girl? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, Alfred, can you clean my sheets, please? I sharded myself last week. But. So anyways, back to my point. We could change this fucking topic because this is not what the show's about, right? But so I go, hey, Charles, and that's his real name. Sorry to use his real name on the show, but no one's going to fucking know anyway. So I go, when Wolverine has his claws in, can he bend his wrists? Right? And he goes, well, that's a good question. I never thought about that way.
Yeah, going, because so there's got to be some support structure.
I'm like, so these same guys like video games, right? And like, so Wolverine would probably be pretty frustrated at the arcade because he couldn't play Pac-Man. He'd be fucking just like, like Robo.
He has the same frustration as like Edward Scissorhands, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Could he love a girl?
And so we're hanging out. I'm getting my coffee, and we're going to work, and they're like, "Hey, Nick had a question." These same two guys that argue over a fucking alien that's bulletproof and a millionaire that fights crime, right? Who's better?
Alien that's bulletproof.
It has laser beam eyes, right? He's bulletproof, and so is his fucking clothes, because he gets shot, and there's no holes in his fucking
armor.
It's
double bulletproof, man.
Double whammy. Like,
he makes his clothes bulletproof.
Why doesn't he just make more of these uniforms to hand out to people so they could be bulletproof?
Why do you need a cape?
If you could fly either way, I don't know.
What's the cape for? Is it kind of like a magic rug kind of thing?
Maybe so he could wrap Lois Lane in it when he goes to his ice planet.
Maybe
I
it's
don't
just
know.
So that he knows he's flying when he's in space.
Yeah. And how fast he's going, it's like... It probably gives... It's like a spoiler on your Porsche, you know? The faster you go, it helps you stay down and more aerodynamic. You know?
If there's no atoms in space, then it wouldn't even fly behind him in space. You would just kind of drift.
Because if you just wore tights and flew around, you'd be gay. That'd be so gay, dude. So anyway,
you better not pop a boner. That's going to be awkward. It'll
super
pop
sensitive
out of the top of his belt line.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other thing. A super sensitive guy that I can't tell what to do because he's a fucking super millennial kid. Nice kid, don't get me wrong. They go, hey, Nick was asking me the other day, like, what you think if Wolverine has his claws in, if he could bend his wrists. After hours of hearing these guys argue over every fucking.
Why did you,
superhero,
why did you even
goes,
go with
he
that?
Goes, Nick, I think you overthink these movies a little bit. I'm going, yeah, maybe I'm right. Maybe you're right there, pal. Like, next time you talk about the Hulk, I won't ask how his pants stay on, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Me and my wife will watch movies, and it'll be some sci-fi thing, and I'll be like, the president wouldn't even do that because, you know, or whatever. Like, I'll just come up with something like, that's so fake. The president wouldn't do that. He knows that would, like, harm his reputation or something like that. And we're like, wait, what are we even thinking? Right now we're talking about aliens invading Earth.
Today, it's our Independence Day. I think we played that clip on the show one time, right? We used it.
Did we?
I don't know.
Maybe we should have.
But the clip we did play was from The Fifth Element, correct?
Yes, that was The Fifth Element. And he was kind of discussing... There is a, I guess the word would be paradox. There's an economic paradox that Bastiat had called the broken window fallacy. Mm. And it basically went into how if a vandal comes and breaks somebody's window, doesn't it spawn economic activity? And it's basically asking, like, does economic activity get spawned by spending and consumption? And Bastiat, who's this guy's awesome, he argues that fallacy. He calls it a fallacy. He argues it, and he says that what actually increases economic activity is production, not consumption, but production. And so that's when you get into some major, like, wars, like decades-long wars between different economists. Keynesian economists think that consumption is like the what drives economies, where like Hayek would be like the major guy, the major economist that would have said that like production is the driver of an economy, and to get government out of it. So we're going to get into that on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we are going to talk economics. I think this is our first show. We did a show about money. Mm-hmm. This show, we're going to talk about how money works in society and how it flows and it's
monetary
really
policy and stuff. And then,
yep, right? Monetary policy. So, just a rough outline. We're going to talk about the law of supply and demand. We're going to teach you guys the truth about the law of supply and demand. We're going to talk about the whole money creation cycle, how money is created, where it goes, into whose hands it goes, and then how it ends up getting reabsorbed again in order to control inflation. We're going to talk about fiscal policy, and we're going to talk about monetary policy. We're going to try to nail all that in one show. Good luck, right?
It's going to be great. Are you a big Bruce Willis fan? I have to ask.
Yeah, actually, why?
Well, I thought you would be because... Well, like, for a long time, you were rocking the shaved head, which is bitching, right?
Yeah.
And now, you're going to back. You got the Lance Bass coming in. But it's better than that. Like, literally, your hair looks like Bruce Willis's hair in The Fifth Element. Like, you always do so much research for the show. That's why it took so long to do the show, guys. Matt had to grow his hair out like Bruce Willis's in The Fifth Element. Which was probably a fucking... What a wig, right? Like a, because he's wicked bald.
I think he's bald. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
he
was
had
a
like
wig.
A bleach blonde wig.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're gonna bleach it? Take it back to when I first met you. I think you had the bleach tips, dude. That I was did. The bomb in the '90s. Puka
frosted
shell necklace.
Tips.
Yeah.
Frosted tips.
Did you have a puka shell necklace, dude? Remember? Remember, dude.
Wait, what are puka shells?
They're like the little white shell like necklaces. Like they come white, the different colors. Like,
oh, huh? No,
you didn't do the.
I think I had a necklace for a little bit, but it was just like your like a silver. Link kind of thing.
Oh man, in the 90s we used to kill it with those. And we're such idiots because we thought chicks are gonna dig this, dude. It's like almost
I've got wildlife chokery. Hanging from my neck.
Yeah. And no wonder I never got laid. Yeah.
You never got laid?
Well, I stopped wearing the fucking puka shells and dyeing my hair with weird shit and sunning and stuff.
Yeah, I will say, like, my hair, it's just it's kind of just
talking about high school
what it
days.
Does now.
I've known you since the high school days, basically. Mm-hmm. Right after high school is when I met you. 99.
Yeah. Yeah. Through Zeke.
Yep.
I don't know, man. My hair just kind of I spend like minimal time even bothering with it. It's just kind of doing its own thing.
Yeah. No, I just had to compare the Bruce Willis analogy there with.
It is kind of funny though, because the more I wear like headphones, if I'm I actually wear headphones quite a bit. I'm listening to stuff.
Oh, yeah,
lectures or whatever.
It's in your head.
It creates like a little divot in your hair.
Like you got to make a hairstyle enough. For that, you know? Just yeah. Shave the middle. One stripe along
the... That's some Fifth Element futuristic
from
shit.
Ear to ear, just one little... Zzz.
It's easy. Yeah. All right. So let's get into supply and demand. Is there anything else you wanted to go over first? I think we should get into...
Yeah, I think you and I have... Well, I mean, we're not totally caught up. We'll never be, but, you know,
never.
Just...
We can
I'm just loving we're doing the show. We're back on, you know?
We're back.
And one thing about podcasts is it just opens you to just infinite information, mm-hmm. you know? And I just gotta say, like, doing this show has helped me, like, just grow as a human. And I just, you know, if you got some ideas, people, just get it out there and do it. Like, we did a show, like, how to do a podcast. Matt did a great job on how to put it all up there.
Yep.
But I've been trying to, like, it's freed me up. It made me a freer person, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I work a lot. I'm stressed out. Don't get me wrong. But I take on all these new opportunities in life. You know what I mean? Like, something comes to me, just try it. It's a new new ideas, new something you've never done before, you know, like a marathon or ride your bike a long ways or whatever. Like,
yep.
Some Native Americans invited me over to an orgy, and it was fucking intense.
You get out of here, dude. So I was mashing between the Maiorman tribesmen and the...
Yeah, that was a long setup to try to tell that, but yeah, literally, fucking intense. Yeah.
I like it. How was the peyote? Yeah, peyote could have been better.
Yeah.
Tasted a little piney. And they're women. They don't shower. Horrible. I think that part of it is almost like even people that journalize, they get those kind of benefits, right? When you are able to, like, kind of like wring out your ideas, like you wring them out like a wet towel or something. Mm-hmm. When you're able to actually flush those out and then maybe even talk to somebody else about them, you put them out there in front of the world to be judged also. There is something kind of liberating about that too. But also, I think that another thing is when you actually really start doing some of this research and learning some of the truth of what's going on, and it all starts making sense, you start putting some of these puzzle pieces in and you start getting an idea of the big picture, and it starts making more and more sense. And then that is a very, like, freeing thing. Now, when I say freeing, I don't mean like I don't have laws upon me. It's that mentally I understand that those are wrong and that mankind has inflicted those upon mankind, and that there is a way to reverse that. But it's freeing because mentally I've busted out of the paradigm of being under those things. I understand they're silly, right?
Yeah.
That kind of freeing thing. Then when you get to that level, you go, oh, I can do anything I set my mind to. The only thing is it takes a little bit of work. Take some work. And if I'm willing to do work, which everybody should be willing to do work, you look at the design of your body, two hands, two feet. We are designed to work, to function, whether it's design or whether it's evolved, but these are like, our body is like a sophisticated tool, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you were saying, once you feel free mentally, it really, like, tears a bunch of barriers down and you just go for it with a lot of different things. Like, I felt that way even, like, going into the promotion process. It was like, it's nothing. All I got to do is learn what I have to do to pass this test, this task, and do it and kick ass at it. Okay, there you go. Like, it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah, going back to the promotion thing, we got to get on the show notes here, but... if any of you are starting a new job or getting promotion to a new area, I highly recommend this book. It's called The First 90 Days. And a while back, when I first got a new job, I read that book and it had like a little test for you and stuff in the beginning. It fucking blew my mind and changed my life. Like, if you apply this thinking, like, basically what it is like, if you get a new job, like, if you're not killing it within the first 90 days, you're fucking, you're, you know, companies aren't going to like you, whatever this is. It's actually, most companies now, it's like 30 days.
Hmm.
But it's a really motivating book, and it'll help you, it has good insight. So,
maybe
if you're looking for some motivating stuff, that's where I'd go.
Maybe as one of our shows, we should do a book report on it.
Yeah. I just love, dude, I'm addicted to motivational books and podcasts and stuff now, like... there's that one. Okay, so if you're gonna look, if you're down and out and you're trying to get pumped up or try to get, you're looking to be successful, And dude, they're not sponsors or nothing like that. These are things that I've read that just helped me out. First book was 212 degrees, and it takes 45 minutes to read. It's excellent. The second book would be Start With Why. And I try to apply these even to the podcast, anything we do, your relationships, and then a new job, if you're starting a new job, for the first 90 days. Start With Why is excellent. It talks about all these different companies and like why they're billionaires and why they're so successful. It's like, because the employees have this a reason to be there. Like, why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this goal we're trying to accomplish or whatever we're trying to do?
Yeah.
But so that's a side note. Sorry to go off.
What I've heard is that's a common argument against millennials, is that they say they always want to know why. They always want to know why. And if you give them why, they know. But I always thought, like, okay, for the laziness and the entitlement that they feel, there's also, like, everything usually has a balance. Mm-hmm. There's also a positive. I think the asking why is crucial. And I think that the slam on them is coming from generations that never asked why.
Yeah. Just do what you're told.
Just do it. No, fuck
Do as I say, not as I do. Like, that, you can't be that guy.
Fuck that.
And you know what? Actually, you brought up a good point, because sometimes, like, things just don't pan out the way I try to, like, I try to lay it out. But I tried to be the boss like I wanted to, like, have, you know? Like, I had a good boss that would just be like, this is a job you got to do. Boom. Right? And he'd give me the freedom to fucking do it. Like, this podcast, you know, I appreciate freedom, right? So I give my guys the freedom to do the job the way you got
to
do it, right?
Yeah. You have
but
to be the change you want to see
in
the
world. It backfires, and I got to be like, do you want me to be on the job and fucking go, okay, dig it here, use that tool now, go get, you know, this, and I don't want to be that guy.
You encourage responsibility.
But one guy the other day, he goes, Nick, so I was talking to one of my guys, and going, hey, why did that get fucked up? I go, is there something wrong with the way I talk? Did I not fucking make it clear what we're supposed to be doing here? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, Nick, I don't know what those guys fucking did. They fucked up, blah, blah, blah. And I go, seriously, dude, you can tell me, you know? And he goes, no, dude. He goes, I appreciate the way you tell me stuff. He goes, you always tell me what job we're doing, where we're heading next, and why. Why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And he goes, dude, that's fucking all I could ask for. And, you know, he's a younger guy. He's like not even 30 years old yet. And he's one of our star performers, dude.
Yeah.
But like you said, just tell me why we're doing it. If I'm not fucking banging my head against the wall for no fucking reason,
yep.
Boom, we'll do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's hit the law of supply and demand before we go on break.
10-4. Okay. I am going to crack a beer. Would you like one?
Please.
All right, which one are we doing?
Surprise me.
Should we do a little...
I'll take a space dust.
Space dust.
Y'all ever had that space dust? There's an innocent looking moon spitting out little space dust or something.
It's a hop.
Is it a hop?
Yeah.
I thought it was a planet.
No, man. That's a hop, dude.
Oh, well, they made it look like a planet because it's space.
Yeah, because it's in space, yeah.
All right.
That'd be a weird planet. It's all spiky. It looks like a artichoke.
There are spiky planets in the Andromeda galaxy.
Oh, great.
No, I'm just kidding. All right.
Matt's going to get started this. I'm going to take off my headphones and grab some beers.
Thanks, buddy. Okay, so supply and demand. Most people have learned it as that they have an inverse relationship. That as supply increases, demand decreases. Or that as demand increases, supply decreases. But it's kind of like a layman's version of it. So the truth of the matter is, I think the best way to do this is to actually, you know how you make like a graph, like a line chart? Make a line chart, and you always do that by drawing an uppercase L. And on the vertical post, and I really, if you guys are at home, draw this, because it's going to make a lot of sense. Me and Nick have printouts. If you want to, right now, you can Google supply and demand curve, and it'll give you a little graph. You just look up Google Images supply and demand curve. But anyways, your vertical line is going to be price, okay? And that's the price of anything. And then your horizontal line is going to be quantity. And that's going to be the quantity of anything. This is the law of supply and demand as it relates to anything, okay? So now, inside of that L, like inside of that right angle, draw an draw an X. Okay? Draw an X. You see that X, Nick?
Yeah.
That's the one I highlighted there. Okay. The line on that X that is coming from the corner of the graph, that's going to be called the supply curve. Okay? Now, the supply curve...
We should just tweet this, a picture.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will. Yeah. The supply curve, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tweet that graphic.
Mm,
and it's great. On there. What do you think?
That's sweet, dude. Yeah.
Would that work? Or is that
it's too a dollar.
Tough to see?
You're talking about the dollar and all that?
No, there's the supply chart on there.
Yeah, yeah. But not with the dollar in the background. Is that what you're talking about?
I was going to do it all.
That's cool.
What do you think? Is it too tough to see?
It's got the logo? No, it's not tough to see. Sorry.
Anyways, so that supply curve, you see, we're going to describe that a little bit. What that line means is that as price goes up, the supply is going to go up because there's people that supply things that go, oh, I can sell it for more and more and more. Then I'm going to supply more and more and more as the price goes up. Okay. And you can also see that the quantity of that goes up based off of price. The line that made that an X, okay, that's the downward sloping. It'd be like a backslash on your keyboard. That line of the X is called the demand curve. And you can see that as price increases, the quantity of it actually would decrease, okay? And that as the price decreases, the quantity increases. That means that this is buyers. This is people that are demanding something. As the price of something goes up, they're going to demand less of it. As the price of something goes down, they're going to demand more of it, okay? Makes sense. It's affordability. Now, what's going to happen is... you can have a shift. So those are the supply and demand curves is what it's called, or a supply and demand line. Now what happens is when something happens in the economy, it either moves the supply line to the right or left, or it moves the demand line to the right or left. And those are called determinants. There are things called determinants of demand, okay? Now, these are the things that'll shift that demand curve to the right, okay? Oh, also, let me say this. If we're talking about anything, let's say we're talking about coffee beans, okay?
I love that.
Well, coffee beans, let's say at a certain price, there is a certain demand and there's a certain supply for at a specific price. That is called market equilibrium. And that is where the price is right. The market finds that.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Dee, 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 dee.
So on our graph, on our supply and demand graph, that's going to be right in the middle of the X. That is market equilibrium.
Yeah, the market will figure itself out. Like, you'd be a jackass to be like, I make these beans. It costs me $5 to process this whole bag. I'm going to charge $100 for it. You price yourself out of the market.
You can't do it. And people are only willing to pay a certain amount.
Exactly.
So that's called the price discovery mechanism. There is a price discovery mechanism. Now, what happens is there are things that can shift the demand higher or lower, and that's what causes the demand line to get shifted right or left. Or there's things that can cause supply to get higher or lower, and that causes the supply curve to get shifted right or left. So the things that shift the demand are called determinants of demand. And one of those is obviously price. The other is income. So if people's income increases, let's say you just hit a big boom or we hit a big old gold mine and all of a sudden America now is rich. We hit oil and gold and we're just rich. Okay. So that's going to affect the demand of other things, other goods. Okay. The determinants of demand. Now, that changes based off of two different things. If it's a normal good or if it's an inferior good. A normal good, the a higher income of the people will increase the demand. Like, you know, anything. Starbucks, anything like that. As income increases, the demand for that's going to increase. There are also things called inferior goods, where higher income actually decreases demand. And that's like... Unfortunately, it's true, but it's inferior goods. It'd be like really crappy groceries,
yeah,
or stuff that, unfortunately, you know, stuff that like poorer people like. Those tend to have higher demand as income decreases. Does that make sense? So,
or necessity is a big part of that too.
They could be necessities too.
I'll never forget when my grandfather was alive. I used to take him to the grocery store because he couldn't drive anymore or whatever. And, you know, they started putting Starbucks in the stores. And he goes, I also want to go over here real quick. Let's check this out. So, yeah, sure, dude, whatever. And we get over there, and he goes to the Starbucks, and he goes, Jay Leno was right. He goes, $3 for a cup of coffee? Like, he couldn't fucking believe it, dude. This guy's been around since the 50s. Like, coffee used to be just like,
yeah, nothing.
It's a fucking quarter. You know, you could have coffee all day long for a quarter. Mm-hmm. And he's like, $3 for a cup of coffee? It blew his mind, you know? You just remind me of that, sorry.
Yeah.
But that demand, he would probably not spend that because that was not would that's yeah. ridiculous for him.
Yeah, yeah. It's more expensive than a gallon of gas.
And in his mind, it's no better than the Folgers he has at home. There's no fucking way. I know my grandfather, he was a Marine, he was a cop, and he'd probably be like, what's the big fucking deal? It's coffee. Crazy. It's fucking coffee.
Yeah.
But sorry, tangent.
It's all good. Another determinant of demand is prices of related goods can actually affect the price of another good. So peanut butter and jelly is one. Just as a...
I love peanut butter and jelly.
But as peanut butter gets, say, more expensive. Okay, so let's say Coke and Pepsi. Let's say this first. There is two different types of related goods. There's substitutes and there's complements. Coke and Pepsi would be substitutes. So as the price of Coke went up, then the demand for Pepsi would go up. Does that make sense? Because it's a competitor.
Yeah, yeah.
As the price of Pepsi went up, the demand for Coke would go up. Okay, it's sort of complicated, but you guys can stretch your brains. That's what we're doing here on the Beacon Podcast. We're stretching the brains a little bit. And then there's complements of each other. And that would be like CDs and CD players, okay? So, as the price of CDs goes up, the demand for CD players goes down. So, it's different. One substitutes and one's complements. Mm-hmm. One work with each other. One are in competition with each other. Another thing that can determine demand are people's tastes, just if things are in style. Fashion, that kind of stuff. Future expectations. If you expect housing prices to be higher in the future, that could increase demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, obviously, number of buyers. If you flood the market with new buyers of something, then that would increase the demand. And so, that would cause the demand curve to shift to the right or left. And if you increased demand, you shift it to the right, and where that line intersects the supply curve now has a new equilibrium point. And that's where the price changes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just, like you talk about real estate, you know, like the value is just going to increase as far, you know, and it's limited. It depends on if you have a limited amount of something, that's going to have a higher demand, probably.
Yeah, so that's quantity. But,
or if it has a high value, high value.
So, yeah, exactly. Quantity is the one thing that you addressed, and then price was the other thing that you addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as if we shift that demand curve to the right, things are going to get more expensive. If we shift the demand curve to the left and we decrease demand, things are going to get less expensive. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there are also things that can shift the supply curve, and those are called determinants of supply. And the determinants of supply are costs, and this is things that can affect the amount of something that's supplied. Costs and technology is one. So the cost of production, such as labor costs, the cost of materials, rent, interest payments, depreciation charges, and general and administrative expense, that's something that can shift supply. Technological innovations can shift supply. If all of a sudden we had a technological innovation that made mining silver way easier, that would affect supply. We would increase our supply big time, okay? And that would shift the supply curve, okay? Another thing that could affect supply is prices of other goods and services offered by the seller. And that's the case of competing products like pizza and Coke. There's future expectations, which we talked about earlier with demand. If people are expecting more sellers in the market in the future, then they will expect a fall in price, and that can affect the supply of things. Maybe people won't sell if they know the market's going. Or maybe if they know the market's going down, they will sell right now. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if they know the market's going up later, they'll hold off on selling right now. Also, the number of sellers. If there's more sellers that get put into the market, obviously shifts the supply curve to the right. Okay? So, when the supply curve gets shifted to the right, let's use that same story of technology, where technology made mining silver easier. Well, our supply of silver then increases. And you'll notice if you shift this supply curve to the right, where it crosses the demand curve is actually at a lower price. So as supply increases, price decreased.
Man, I want to invent something and sell some shit right now.
And as
I'll be writing that X, boom.
As supply decreases, or as we move that supply curve to the left, as supply decreases, price is going to increase. So that's why people think that supply and demand have an inverse relationship. They kind of do, but there are some other factors that are going on there. So the reason why we bring that up is because we're going to be talking about money this show, and money is just like silver or coffee beans or anything else. It has a price to it. Mm-hmm. And those prices that people are willing to pay for money is called the interest rate. Okay. And we have to talk about interest rates when we talk about money supply and fiscal policy, monetary policy. Sounds a little complicated, but you guys, this is a podcast, and if you guys don't get it the first time around, listen to the show a couple times.
This is a podcast?
It's not live. Well, it is live, but it's not like, you know. You know. You know.
This is how we do it.
Let me see. Was that?
Do you like guacamole?
I do like guacamole. Why?
I can't think of that song and not think about guacamole because of that movie Step Brothers.
Oh.
There's a movie reference, sorry. But
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, when he jumps on the bunk bed and it squishes him.
Yeah, I like when he was playing his drums.
I put my ball sack on your drum set.
No! All right, I got to take a piss. Anyways, that Sweet. Was supply and demand. When we get back into it, we're going to talk about money creation, how money is created, who creates it, and where it flows in society before it gets reabsorbed via your taxes. All right, we're getting back into it when we come back.
Time for Kick-Ass Song.
Things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
yeah.
That man wants money.
Barrett Strong, I agree with you, sir. And good. You know what? I got to say, dude, music just sounds so much better. Old music just sounds better, dude.
The emotion.
Analog, fucking, that shit was recorded in a studio with real musicians.
Yeah,
and
they weren't auto-tuning
background
his voice
singers,
or
and it was like, hey, we got to make this take right here. God, I love that. That's why I know it sounds like a fucking douchebag, what do you call those, hipster, you know? But yeah. I love listening to vinyl, bro. Like, I got these old vinyls. I got, like, Miles Davis and stuff, and it's amazing. I even got my girlfriend into, like, she's buying records now, and she's like, you're right, it sounds better. Like,
really?
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Man, I
got Rolling Stones. I think my favorite one is Bad Company. Bad Company.
Yeah.
He recorded that in, like, a castle or something, but...
Damn.
Dude, when I come home... Crack a beer, put on Bad Company, it's on.
Really?
Fucking party, bro. Oh, that or AC/DC or Rolling Stones, dude. Like, they got the records just sound bitching, dude.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And they're made to listen to. You're supposed to listen to the whole fucking thing, man. I mean, it's a pain in the ass if you just stop, flip it over, play it again, put the needle on, make sure it goes on good. But it's the best. Like, that song, I just love that fucking song, dude. Like, the piano, everything was great in there.
Yeah, dude, I just something too about like iconic songs. I just love like tell me this doesn't just get your gant. Hello,
my goat.
Hello, tell me this doesn't just get you.
Oh yeah, I feel like I'm in Vietnam.
You know what I mean? Like some of these iconic kind of sounds, they just. I just dig. We're gonna play that one later, but
but there are songs that like it's like I don't need to hear that again.
Yeah, they're shitty songs. For sure. Like, dude, some of your modern rap is...
It's horrible.
Now, we're going to play some good rap a little later.
There is good rap. Yes.
That is excellent rap. So it's not like, Red, Gold, Green.
Okay, like, Sweet Home Alabama would be like one of your iconic songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, right?
Okay.
I feel like I've heard it... Like, okay, Lynyrd Skynyrd has way better songs than that. We put on fucking classic rock radio out here, and you're gonna hear fucking Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Not, what was that? Mama Told Me.
When I was yeah, that's
Simple
a good
Man.
Song.
Simple Man.
That's a good song.
There's Simple Man. Because
Sweet Home Alabama doesn't they call have a message. What's the message in that?
He's talking shit to Neil Young.
Okay.
Because Neil Young wrote a song about Southern man in slavery and stuff. And he's basically there. That was a retort to them. Like,
really?
They're just like, that's my home. Like, Alabama's my home, you know? And we don't care, you know?
Now, there are some times where I just like a feel good song too. You know? I mean, especially I listen to more of those. Like, what's funny is, this is going to sound kind of corny, but what happens, like, almost to my, like, spirit or whatever is like during the spring and summertime it comes to life, and the type of music I like is different than in the fall and winter. It's like everything starts to get a little bit, it hibernates, everything hibernates a little bit, you know, and my preference in music gets a little bit like gloomier, you know. It's still good music, but it's a little more introspective. And then in spring and summertime it's like social, like happy, like that's just me. Like, it just
I like when I can hear a song and it takes me back to a fucking moment, like when I first heard the song. It's so weird how that works.
Really? You like time travel?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Like, if like there's like songs from the 80s, like, and I can just remember like being at home watching cartoons and my mom was like cooking food, like,
damn,
little things, or playing with G.I. Joes, or like if I hear Candlebox, I could totally think about the summer of like 95 and being a kid riding my BMX bike, you know?
Candlebox, I could, yeah.
You know, and it's usually like the one-hit wonder songs.
I remember I was learning guitar, and I remember picking up my guitar. I used to emulate songs on guitar and try to play them, and I was fairly good at it, and I'd be proud when I could, you know, figure one out. I'm like, hey, it's Candlebox time. I did Candlebox. I was like, never mind. That guitarist was way... He just blew me away.
I don't want it no more, and it's my... Yeah. That is blood in but my hands. Make, off of, yeah.
Some of the sounds coming out of that guitar, he could just make... You just couldn't
duplicate.
I do
think that was one of the best solos ever.
Yeah. And like far Beyond or whatever?
Far Away.
Is it Far Away?
Maybe.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Hell yeah, dog.
Nick, money creation. You ever wonder what those bills are in your wallet?
Federal Reserve notes.
Yes. And how do they come to be? Why are they here? Why are those dollars? No. Do they say dollar anywhere on that thing? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Do you have one?
I'm going to whip one out. Excuse me while I whip this out.
Because a dollar is something else.
All I have in my wallet is $1. I went to a Dodger game last night, so I was spending some money. It says Federal Reserve Note to the United States of America, $1. Yeah, it says
at the bottom. Okay, $1. So this is counterfeit. Can I see it? Yoink!
Shut the fuck up.
So a dollar is actually the definition of a dollar. And we go into this on our Money Monopoly show, but a dollar is a weight of gold or the equivalent amount in silver. So when they say a dollar, this is actually counterfeit. And what it is a Federal Reserve note. This is not governmental money. See how it says the United States of America? That's nice. Yeah, that one. Can you put that up to me? Far away or far beyond?
Far behind.
Far behind, yes. That's a jam.
No, maybe. Oh, we're taking you back. Where were you when you first heard Candle Box?
Now, I could do that guitar.
Does this take you back?
Oh, yeah.
It's not the audio quality you guys are normally used to hearing when we play songs. But, dude, is this not beautiful?
I think it's like, yeah. That reminds me of the early Candlebox 90s, right?
I never listened to any other fucking songs besides this and the song You.
I know.
Sorry, Candlebox.
Sorry.
I'm sure you have great music, but, dude, you guys blew it away with these songs, and I fucking love them.
Yeah.
And You, I think, is about, like, people want him to do drugs, and he's like, I don't want to do drugs anymore, you know? Because there was, like, a heroin phase in the 90s again, you know?
That grunge phase.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's about to get badass in a minute.
Right here.
Oh, Jesus! I picture myself drumming this.
Now, do you have the solo to that? The guitar solo on that, I thought...
It goes off.
He makes the guitar sing on that.
It's coming up. I think we're going to have to karaoke this one, bro. Remember last time we went with Lindsay?
Yeah.
We karaoke'd it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think
she loves
Gangster's Paradise. Yeah.
She does Big Butts. She likes doing
it. Yeah, that's a classic. People always do that in Vanilla Ice. Let's see. I don't know how long it is until the solo.
It's after the probably the when the chorus comes up after the next chorus.
I always like rock star album pictures. There's always one guy like has to look to the left, not paying attention, so he give a fuck less.
Yeah, they're almost like bothered that the guy's taking a picture of him.
Yeah,
right?
I'll just stand here, but there's always just one guy that has to look to the left. What is that? Fucking rock star picture. Everyone's looking to the camera, except for one guy. He's got to be the singer. He's a singer. He's the cool guy.
It's science, bro.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, dude, he makes it sing. See, and also, what I like about a good solo is that he didn't make it overcomplicated. You make it just right.
Yeah, like the song Mother by Danzig. Here we go. The tone of it was bitchin'. What is that, a telly?
That's just him vibrating with his hand.
No, I'm going to get a guitar he's playing.
Oh, gets down. He gets down.
Probably one of the best solos ever. You agree?
Badass.
Boom. That's an open E to the high. I love that part. The palm muted fucking scale. Oh!
Yeah!
Oh my god. This takes
beautiful.
Me back to when Brian Middleton gave me a piece. That sounded weird. We used to always look at his dad's Playboys, right? So Brian Middleton gave me one page from the Jenny McCarthy fucking Playboy, and I whacked it to that fucking forever. And that song just took me back to Jenny McCarthy whacking, dude. Thank you,
Jenny. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be back.
Nick's got to use the restroom. Every time
I have an uncontrollable. I got to stick under my belt loop. Yeah. But like fuck Superman. Yeah, dude. Best, easily one of the best solos ever.
Yeah.
We're going to do, next podcast, we're doing a best solo fucking podcast. And we're going to have our homies,
dude,
Eric,
let's Slater. Just have one where it's you, me, Eric, and Isaac, and we all come with three
top five.
Or four. Well, how?
Our top five.
Each one plays five songs?
No, we're not going to play it ourselves.
No, but that's a lot of songs.
Okay, top three.
Fast forward. Top three. Each person talks top three, and then we can discuss it.
Yeah, but we already, you and me are going to be fucking neck and neck because we already said we like this one the most.
Dude, there's so many to choose from.
Dude, you know which other one I like that is perfect for the song? The solo for Mother by Danzig.
Yeah.
Is perfect.
Yeah. I like that.
It goes with the song perfectly. It's simple, it's hard, and it's great.
Yeah. And then there's some shitty solos, too.
Oh, we should do our top three? That's what we'll do. And we'll only play the solo. We don't have to play the whole song. Top three best solos, top three shitbag solos.
Yeah. STP had some good ones. They had one song where they went staccato with it, which is like every note you pluck, you only play for a second. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. Back to the money. Sorry about that.
All right. Money creation. There are four major players in the creation of money. There is the U.S. government. And the Treasury kind of counts as the U.S. government. It's part of it. There is the Fed, which is not part of the U.S. government for the 20th time on this show. The Fed is a private bank. There are banks and there is the people, us. Okay? Those are the four different groups. And all of money creation and the money cycle can be explained with those four players. Imagine it's like a chessboard. Okay, so the first thing that happens, the U.S. government wants to buy something. They have the Treasury print up bonds. Okay, so the U.S. government doesn't have Federal Reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Treasury print up bonds. And what a bond is it's the government saying, hey, we will pay in a certain amount of time, we'll pay you this much back. With this much, with a certain amount of interest, or they, the real way they do it is if it's a, say like a $10 billion bond, they'll say, this is how it really works. They'll say in 5 years, this piece of paper will be worth $10 billion. Okay. Then they auction that off to the largest banks in the world. They get to bid on it. And where it's worth $10 billion in 5 years, these banks get to bid on it, and they maybe they bid it as $97 billion, blah, blah, blah. And the highest bidder gets the bond. But it has to do with what interest rates are.
Okay? Yeah, I remember my grandparents gave me a bond for a gift like in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I cashed that thing out for like 150 bucks.
Nice.
Not trying to brag.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of.
So these large banks then bid on those bonds and they get the bonds. So what the government just did is it sold debt. A bond is debt because what it is basically is it says, I will pay you this in the future.
Sweet.
Those large banks then turn around to the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and they sell those bonds to the Federal Reserve for Federal Reserve notes.
Who, by the way, is not a federal agency. They just call it that. They're a private fucking bank.
It's a private bank. So these large banks, once they auction on those bonds, they go to the Federal Reserve and they sell it to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve gives them Federal Reserve notes. So now there's $10 billion in Federal Reserve notes that go into the banks. And then these banks, they either make loans to other banks, loans to people, or they buy more bonds from the government. Okay? Okay. So those banks use the Federal Reserve notes to buy more treasury bonds a lot of the times. Okay? The government spend. Now the government has Federal Reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call dollars nowadays.
Absolutely.
The government spends those Federal Reserve notes into the economy through the federal budget. Okay? And we're going to talk about the federal budget in our next section. But the government spends those money, that money into the system. That money trickles down to the people. Okay?
Okay.
The people put the money into banks. And those banks then, now this is called fractional reserve banking. If for those banks can loan up to 10 times the amount of money that gets deposited with them into the system. So check this out. Nick, if you deposited, let's say you deposited $10 billion
with
your bank.
Yes, let's do that.
That bank now, legally, the way it's set up, legally, that bank can loan out $100 billion. Because all that bank has to have is 10%, it's called collateral, in order to, it creates the rest of the $90 billion out of thin air. And most of the money that's created, you know how the Fed created money out of thin air to pay for those bonds?
Yeah.
Well, that's some of the money in circulation that's created. Most of the money that's created in circulation is done by the banks through this fractional reserve lending. Is that they can lend out 10 times the amount of money that they get that gets deposited with them. That's called fractional reserve lending. Now, right now, they can loan out 10 times the amount, but that's called the reserve requirement. If the Federal Reserve has the ability to tell these banks, you need to have more reserve requirement, which means they'd only be able to loan out 5 times as much. Or the Federal Reserve also has the ability to decrease the reserve requirement. They say you can loan out 20 times the amount you have on deposit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people always think, well, if the shit hits the fan, I'm pulling all my shit out. Like, it's like that. What's that Christmas movie? Like, everyone goes to the bank to pull their money out. Like, they don't have it.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time a bell rings,
an angel gets his wings. So that's what happens. Exactly. When you get a bank run, the banks don't, they're supposed to only have 10%.
Yeah.
And they only have 10% because if they're good, if they're a financial savvy bank, they're trying to make as much money as possible. They're going to loan out, they're going to be right at their limit. They're going to loan out 10 times what they have on deposit. That makes those bank runs possible. And we're going to come around to that because that has a lot to do with our monetary policy section.
Dude, we should be actors or voiceover guys because we nailed that fucking A Wonderful Life thing. That was both of us. If you guys, in case you guys can tell, I started it. He finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded just like that little chick on that movie.
You guys probably thought that was another clip.
Millions for that, for saying that shit.
You guys probably thought I was playing a clip. I wasn't.
That was not a drop, ladies and gentlemen.
That was us.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is how we bring it. So back to monetary policy.
Okay. So now, the money has trickled down from the government that spent it into the system from the federal budget. The people, it's trickled down to the people. The people have put it into banks. The banks have created 10 times the amount of money. And then the government, in order to prevent hyperinflation, the government pulls some of that money out of the system. How do they do that?
How do they pull the money back out of the system?
Taxes.
Fucking A.
Right? That's how they regulate the flow of money in and out of this system. Is they borrow the Fed prints these Federal Reserve notes,
they steal it back, motherfuckers,
and then they absorb it back in, right?
Steal it. It's fucking theft.
I believe it's theft.
It's fucking horrible.
Philosophically, it's theft. Philosophically.
I saw a cool thing on the internet the other day. It was like a grid, and it says, sex without consent is rape. You know, if you take some, what else was it? A bunch of shit like that. But basically, it's like you don't choose. It's like it just comes out of your fucking check. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't get to say, wait. It's not filling potholes over at my fucking neighborhood.
Now they believe they have consent, and it goes into some weird stuff. But when you end up signing certain contracts saying that you're a United States citizen, it goes under certain, they believe it goes under, and they even the use of these Federal Reserve notes, it's called an adhesion contract. and that you're actually now contractually signing on to certain obligations when you even use these things.
Yeah.
It gets deep. It gets
just ask more of your government people. Like, I remember the last tax season, I got this broken down itemized list of like where my property taxes went to, right? And I'm sorry if I sound like an asshole, but if you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. I like to walk my dogs, you know, and I always bring a bag to pick up their shit. You know, we've talked about this before. I can't train them to shit in the house, shit in the backyard before we go for a walk, but whatever. They got to shit where they got to shit.
Yep.
So it's itemized. And so like around my neighborhood, there's like plants and trees and stuff. And, you know, people mow it and trim it and water it, whatever. So that's part of my property tax. Soon as I seen how much that costs, I said, guess who's not picking up dog shit anymore, motherfuckers? I'm just kick that shit into the fucking bush and I keep on my walking. Because I don't want to walk around with a bag of shit, you know? Mm. Who does? It's all steamy, especially HOA in the wintertime.
An HOA or a property tax?
Property tax.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
And so I said, oh, now that I've seen that bill.
What was it called? Like poo cleanup or?
No, I mean, it's just like vegetation management, this and that. And the, I mean, it was like the school that is by us. Like, I paid so much for the school. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was the roads, the painting, the everything, you know, the city.
That you already pay for it.
So once I seen that, I go, fuck, I'm the only reason I carry a bag is if they shit on one of my neighbor's lawns, you know.
Yeah.
But
now it doesn't mean that
of course I'll pick it up then.
It doesn't mean that everybody should take all their garbage and dump it on that property because the cost would go up.
Yeah.
The cost would go up.
But, you know, I want to go on a long walk and I'd rather not walk with a bag of shit in my hand. You know?
Well, plus it feeds the grass, you know, feeds the plants.
Yeah, I'm just fertilizing. I'm helping them.
Yeah. So the government pulls money, it's theft, and they do that through the income, through the bunch of different taxes. They'll do it through sales taxes or income taxes or yeah. tariffs or levies or duties or imposts or excises or whatever.
Damn.
Now, the government also uses that taxed income, that money that comes in through the IRS, goes back to the Treasury, right? And then they use that to pay the federal budget, some of which is paying off. Okay, so here's the completion of the whole cycle. When the government brings that tax money in, a certain part of the federal budget, for 2015, it was 6% of the federal budget, is interest on the bonds, mostly to the Fed. Okay, so those bonds, remember how we say the government agrees to pay back with a certain amount of interest? Just the interest payments on all the bonds that we owe is 6% of our federal budget. So we owe bonds, the Federal Reserve owns most of our debt. Mm-hmm. China, I think, is second, and Japan is, I think, third. And those are people that have bought our government bonds. So the interest on that debt, just the interest, we're not tackling off. The only principal that we pay off is when a bond is matured, then we have to pay it off because we said we would pay it off plus a certain amount of interest, right? So we pay off the matured ones. Everything else we pay off interest on at regular installments. If the government does not make those payments, its credit rating gets dropped, and we hear about
that
Moody's.
Happened to us.
Yeah. So and now it's all starting to make a little bit more sense with this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
So some of which that those taxes come in, some of that pays off matured bonds and interest on the outstanding bonds. So when you guys see that debt clock, or you hear, you know, American government is $18 trillion in debt, what it means when it's in debt is they haven't pulled out loans. They've issued bonds. But it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing because it's monetizing debt.
That number is so fucking huge. Like, it's like,
that's what they owe. That's what we owe in bonds.
If that was in miles, like how many times did you loop around the moon and back around the earth? Like if you were going to do like a,
God,
that's a shitload.
I don't know, but it makes me want to have a sip of this space dust.
Space it up, Holmes.
but that gives us that money creation whole cycle gives us really a kind of a big picture on where the money goes, how it gets reabsorbed, how it gets paid. the U.S. government doesn't print this money and then spend it into the system. It borrows it, and that's why such a huge chunk of our federal budget is paying off interest. It's mm-hmm. interest on those bonds. So we are going to, let me see what song I want to play.
Something super badass. All right. I mean, that's all we do is play badass shit.
Yeah, know. I know. It's really
we like to promote rad it's artists. Fun. It's that's fun. One of my favorite things about the show is just finding cool bands, you know, promoting that. Because there is a rad band that I think we might play in the show, Red, Gold, Green. And I seen them open for Pepper, and they blew my mind seeing them live. Let's like, they were better live. They were better live than on the record, I got to say. But I mean that as a compliment to them.
They're that good.
They were the shit live. Like, it was so good. Like, it was like the record doesn't even do them justice. Like, it does do them justice, but it's just like, it was so badass.
I love his rapping style, man.
Yeah. So they were dope, dude. Fucking dope.
Well, let's play that one then.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're going on a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about fiscal policy.
And this song features one of my favorite rappers.
Method Man.
Method Man.
Peace.
To Cal.
Interest. I got rich thoughts and a violent instinct. That's just how I distinguish the bad from the good and the smart in England. Straight rock dude, warm up pigment. I'm blending the new wave with the vintage. I'm a prototype, use a mock-up. I start this shit like a fucking offer. Since the government seems to mock us, I try to stay hidden in a green apartment. Working, trying to be an artist, control our minds when they hear me talking. Got a problem with authority, but the neighborhood cops love red, gold, green. 40 niggas nearly died last week, so I count it as a win any day I'm free.
Profit interests and not the maintenance and betterment of the population to meeting human needs, then that society should not stand. It should be challenged and questioned and overthrown.
Fact is that I won't be voting till the poverty gap has slim proportions. Foolish, just like the notion of marching for peace while they're making corpses. Kids dumb from the lack of schooling. I don't blame them because the shit is boring. Found out I had a knack for touring, so I'ma make ways from VA to soaring. Bang, bang, and flee. She watched her grandson die at a jamboree. You don't know? Some barely eat. You want the itch to survive like a manatee. You want what? The American. You wouldn't wish that upon all your enemies. You see, love? No fear of me, because I get me a win any day I'm free.
White though, my team break bad, I'm a walking psycho. No net needed when I walk a tight rope, no typo. You a lightweight, no light bulb. Light work, get it lit, no light show. The quote cheap keep, that's a shown like though. IG, I don't do it for likes though. When Snow White, don't be killing my high hope. High hope, we can kick it like Tybo. Side note, here's a middle finger to 5-0. Eyes low, smoking that hydro, survival. But the fittest, put the gun fit in your pie hole. I go harder than Pablo, these narcos in my cheddar. Fuck kind of cheese, nachos. Killer bees, we got soul. And the drum, the plug, roll with potholes.
Legacy of brutality in American history and subjugating the world's population has been something we wanted to challenge through music.
Nah, I can't strengthen economy, so make sure the water that we drink is clean. Can't start fights in the Middle East, can never make sure that the whole world eats. Military union will never retreat. Chicago crew's gonna still have beef. Palestinian and Israel kids gonna stay fighting for the Gaza Strip. I can put my words on together like this. The words that I say just won't change shit. Hospital room still gonna have patients. Blacks in the womb still gonna deal with racists. Ain't no bomb that I ever defuse. I'm doing no harm that a terrorist choose. Only thing that I know I can do is die like the motherfuckers want me to.
Whoa!
Hell yeah!
Whoa! That was called Opera.
If I could describe that song with one word, it would be powerful.
Powerful.
Like, I just could see myself riding my bike uphill and just like pedal, pedal, pedal,
yeah,
pedal. Like, yep. With the keyboard going, dum, dum,
yeah,
dum.
Yeah, it's not a bad exercise jam too. But yeah, I mean, I don't agree with everything. But yeah, you know, like certain communities, they feel disenfranchised with the way economics are treating them, and they're absolutely right. Nobody gets a fair attempt in this life. But to say that if we just tax rich people a little bit more, then everything's going to be okay. No, things are going to get worse. And we will be able to outline that and describe that more and more. The deeper we get into some of these economics, it's absolutely unarguable that when you start getting further into this stuff, the policymakers, they want you to be distracted with all this same bullshit that goes on the TV that they start giving you, like right now on the news, all the same stuff. It's all just bullshit. It's craziness, and it's just meant to distract you because they don't have shows out there that are teaching you this stuff, which are like economics, monetary policy, fiscal policy.
No,
they don't stay supply down. And demand. Yeah. No, none of it. They don't teach you any of this stuff. So if you guys, you don't have to listen to the Beacon Podcast, but if you don't, educate yourself somehow. If you think me and Nick are annoying, or you think Nick's great, but you think I'm annoying, or whatever, you don't like listening to us just pontificate over different things, fine. But what I would challenge you to do is go at least learn the stuff on your own, you know?
I'm trying to find that on iTunes to buy that song.
It's called Opera.
Oh, Opera.
Yeah, O-P-E-R-A. So, there are, now, once the money has gotten into the government's hands, they spend it a bunch of different ways, okay? Part of the budget is discretionary, where it's up for grabs, kind of what they spend. And then part of it is non-discretionary. They've already made obligations, and they cannot go back on those obligations, okay?
More war toys.
So, war is actually on the discretionary side.
Crazy.
But what's on the non-discretionary side is the stuff that we cannot change in the federal budget. Let me reverse it a little bit. Fiscal policy, what that means is the way that the U.S. government can influence the economy, or how the U.S. government deals with the economy. Monetary policy is how the Federal Reserve deals with the economy. So right now, this segment, we're going to talk about fiscal policy.
Sweet.
Fiscal policy is simple. It is just a combination of taxes and then government spending. And it's a ratio, and it's a balance between the two of those. Okay? Now, taxes, we all know what that is. They either raise them or they lower them. Okay? Not too complicated there. But spending, they obviously either raise spending or lower spending, but they spend that through the federal budget in a bunch of different things. So, right now we have a 2015 federal budget. Trump has a new proposal for this is going to be the 2018 proposed. Is it 2018? 2018 proposed budget, but we're just going to use the 2015 as a general rule. So for the like I said, it gets broken up into discretionary or non-discretionary. The stuff that is not up for grabs is all mandatory spending. That's stuff like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and then there's another mandatory group of it. Other mandatory. But like our total budget that we get in, probably about 3/4 of it is all mandatory spending. We have to spend it on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as, so you saw, it's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. As the population gets more and more unhealthy, we can expect this mandatory section of the pie to increase big time. Big time. And that's happening right now. This is why healthcare is becoming such a big deal. And that's why things are becoming broke. They're going to have to cut into their discretionary spending or raise taxes, right? They have to.
No more raising taxes.
Now, another thing that would be included in the mandatory is the interest on the bonds. Because if we default on that interest, we get a lower credit rating and we get higher interest rates when we try to borrow money to begin with. So the stuff that is in the discretionary side is defense is in the discretionary side. So the amount of war that we can actually wage has to do with the discretionary budget. And that's only probably a quarter to a third of the total budget is the discretionary side. So I'll read you a few different things that are on our discretionary budget. The Environmental Protection Agency is one of them. The State Department, the Department of Agriculture, Labor, Justice, Human and Health Services, Commerce, Education, Transportation, Housing and Urban Development, Department of the Interior, Department of Energy, the Treasury, NASA, Veterans Affairs, Department of Homeland Security, and like I said, Department of Defense. So All of these things are actually discretionary, to where if we start running out of money, we would cut into this stuff. So when you heard a few years ago about the sequester was an 8% cut in discretionary spending.
Cool.
And it was just 8% all across the board.
Yeah,
hey, sorry.
Yeah, 8% out of 16%, though, that's a fucking shitload out of that.
Oh, yeah. For them,
for that, each, that's a lot of, that's a big.
For each group, it was a huge hit. Yeah. When they're used to spending a certain amount.
I mean, I know people are going to think, but it's like, when have we ever been threatened to be attacked? Like, the defense, our fucking military is like so much bigger than any other military.
We spend more, I believe, than all the other militaries combined.
Combined, yes.
Now, here's the thing. And Trump runs, and he goes, I will increase our military. And everybody, all the Republicans, cowards, are like,
hell yeah, dog!
Yes, good, I'm afraid, protect us!
Bomb those camel fuckers, god damn it! This is like, dude, they're in the middle of fuck. What the fuck are we doing, dude? Just like invading countries for no fucking reason. Like,
it's not for no
it's
reason.
It's for terrorism.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Leave them the fuck alone.
We're colonizing the world.
God damn it.
That's the truth of it. We're colonizing the world, right?
Hey, Saudi Arabia, you need a Pizza Hut, a Subway, and a Taco Bell.
I'm gonna bomb
your ass.
We're spreading democracy. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're spreading democracy. Yeah, but we all know how good democracy works. We did a show on that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Republic versus democracy, I think our episode number 30, maybe. Check it out.
And democracy, I might not agree with their lifestyle. Like, of course I don't agree with their lifestyle, but I don't even know what to believe anymore. You know, like, do they really throw acid in girls' faces for reading books and fucking hitting them with bricks?
Yeah.
Because I've seen pictures in the 70s where they didn't have to wear the jihad thing and be covered up. Like,
in
women's
Saudi
liberation
Arabia?
Was way bigger. Yeah, and these bigger and Arab nations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we've turned the fucking tide and gone the wrong way.
Yeah. Well,
we got to bomb them constantly. We got to be fucking staying in people's countries and occupying everybody.
Just like anything else. Like one thing our media is trying to get us to do is wrap all Muslims into one label. Where there's, you know, what is it, 1.2 billion Muslims? They're not all one label. There are extremist groups. Factions that are more like that.
Yeah.
That's like Wahhabism, which Saudi Arabia is funding basically Wahhabism.
It's basically like saying every Christian is a KKK member because KKK is a Christian organization.
Yeah. Or every Christian is Westboro Baptist.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that's not true.
It's the same fucking thing, dude.
Right?
Same fucking thing, man.
Same thing.
People want to believe ancient dumb shit. That's on them, you know?
Yeah. It's on. And if you're not hurting anybody else, fine.
Fuck it.
The second you start
dressing
hurting
everybody
else.
Dressing weird clothes, you know, just don't knock on my door when I'm trying to fucking hang out at my house.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I got to get a no soliciting sign for my fucking door at Home Depot.
Supposedly it works. Isaac said it works at his place.
Oh, it absolutely works, yeah.
Yeah.
I had some chicks come to my house from some Christian college, whatever, 9 o'clock at night, dude. And I'm going, I don't want your books. No, thank you.
It was blah, just blah, a blah. Girl by herself?
It was two girls, yeah.
Two girls coming by at 9?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a principle in Christianity that's called being above reproach. And that's like, you don't want to be like guilty of like stuff that people could construe as being like scandalous or weird. That's weird. Two girls coming by at 9 being like, hey, can we come in and talk? You're like, what the
They're
fuck?
Trying to sell stuff for the books and stuff for their college.
Negative.
And I was like, well, I'll just tell them an atheist and they'll fucking leave. That's the worst thing you can do because then they want to like fucking program you.
Yeah, but the thing too that I don't like is when they say, well, don't you care?
Okay,
don't
this
you
is
care
where it
what
gets
happens
weird.
To you when you die?
My girlfriend's a security guard at a high school, right? And she just had to take a class on like human trafficking, this whole thing, right? And she comes around, she goes, it's 9 o'clock. Get the fuck out.
Nice.
And I try to be polite, but yeah. I was pissed. I'm tired as fuck. I'm about to, you know, I'm 35, dude. If I make
I'm surprised
it past.
You answered your door.
Well, I thought it might have been one of the neighbors, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, dude, I'm 35. I work a lot. I wake up early. And, dude, if I make it past 10 o'clock, that's a fucking late night for me, you know, on a weekday.
Yeah.
So, same but here. I didn't answer it thinking it was like, oh, cool, vacuum salesman. It was like, I thought it was like a neighbor or something, you know? Like something was wrong.
Oh, cool. Vacuum salesman.
Yeah. So, my girlfriend's like, that was not a Christian. That was not a Christian or that was not a church thing. I'm going, yeah, they had all these books and shit. And she goes, because they had a radio going off, like, how are you at? And the one girl would be like,
oh, it might have been because at least they had some kind of accountability then, right?
Yeah, well, no, my girlfriend just finished this class, the human trafficking class at work. She goes, those are prostitutes. And the radio dude was the pimp. I go, no, like, they were in the long fucking weird Christian skirt things and, you know, and, but she thinks they were hookers. I was like, oh, pretty.
It's weird to show up at 9.
Yeah.
But it's also, I don't know. That's a bit far-fetched, too.
I don't believe they were hookers. They did not look like, they weren't hot. They weren't attractive. You know what I mean?
Hookers rarely are they?
I think so. I mean, it's
probably. Man, I've seen a lot of episodes of Cops. They're haggard.
Well, that's like Arkansas, toothless.
Well, those are ones that you even have to come up to. Like, the ones that come up to your door that are just offering it, I wouldn't imagine are just, like,
not. I mean, that's pretty blatant, though. Like, door-to-door hooker service?
Well, were they asking to come in? Were they giving you any kind of.
They would want it. Yeah, they're trying to sell the books and the CDs and stuff.
Did they ask to come in?
They did offer that, yeah, like. Can we talk to you about the Bible, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but that's different. Can we talk to you is like on your doorstep. But there's a difference when they cross the threshold.
Yeah, that will never happen in my house.
No, but if they were offering to cross the threshold.
No, it didn't get to that point because I said, I'm fucking, no, sorry.
Yeah. It is weird. Yeah. I don't know. She might be onto something. But human trafficking, I don't think it's like they're like enslaved like. And their pimp's like, you bitch, you better
suck that dick and read the Bible.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cradle of the balls.
Okay, so.
Joseph, 3:16.
That's fiscal policy. It's a series of taxing and spending. Now, you have a combination or like a dance between the two, taxing and spending. Now, you hear about Keynesian economics. Keynesian economics
is Keynesian like ancient shit?
No.
Okay.
Keynes was like a British economist.
Gotcha.
And he was present at the Bretton Woods Agreement after World War II.
Okay, cool. Like I just wondering where the name came from. That's
yeah,
good.
Keynes,
that's
John Maynard Keynes. Yeah, your cool. Your three major economic people that have your three major schools of thought in economics is Hayek, Keynes, and Marx.
Gotcha.
Hayek says government should be out of it all and let booms and busts happen. It's just part of the ebb and flow of markets. I would be a Hayekian. Marx, we know what Marx said. You know, government control of all the economy. Keynes said that when the economy is in a lull, that people, and he called it the animal spirits. Mm-hmm. He said the animal spirits, the spirits of the people, of the masses, get into a decline, almost like a hibernation phase. And in order to revamp the economy, If you don't revamp the economy, everybody will keep saving money and pull money out of the economy. The economy will go into like a deflationary depression. And that in order to prevent that, the government should step in, increase spending. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Keynesian economics is more so increase spending. And a lot of times it's decrease taxes, increase spending. And so what that does is introduces a ton more money into the system. And then in the hopes to reverse those animal spirits and jumpstart the economy again. The problem is anytime the government decreases its income, which is taxes, and increases spending, what happens if you decrease your income and increase your spending?
Debt. Security and fucking stress.
Debt. The government takes on more debt, and that debt is reflected in the interest payments we have to pay on the bonds, right? Makes total sense now.
Hence, you get the 2008 fucking real estate collapse.
It's all Keynesian.
Yeah.
So there's a big problem. Libertarians have a huge problem with Keynesian economists, right?
Yeah, I'll just let free market capitalism just do its thing. Like,
that's Hayek.
I'm down with the things are booming, things are bust. Yep. Like, who'd have known that Furbies would be a thing? Mm-hmm. They fucking, some motherfucker's a billionaire because they sold a stupid fucking Furby thing, you know?
Yeah.
It happens.
Those are creepy as shit, too.
Yeah.
They learn you. It's like, this thing might take, you know, a month to cuddle up to you. It's like, what the fuck? Hell no. Have you seen these memes on the... The internet has like creepy Furby memes, and they're hilarious. It's like a Furby with a knife or something in the dark, like, and it's like soon. It's like, oh, or they've got some crazy ones. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one though. Yeah, like things are gonna rise and fall. There's gonna be a necessity for something new. Like that's why I'm absolutely against the Marx, of course, because. Then you're trying to control everything. It's like you're preventing growth in human aspiration. You know, we have such great technology. We have iPads and fucking badass shit because of the free market. Like the next best thing, the better mousetrap. You know,
yeah, for sure. So, like Hayek said that you have booms and you have busts, but when the government gets involved, it just either prolongs the inevitable, which is so what he said is just like nature has its laws, gravity, what's some of those Newtonian
like,
laws.
You're talking about like physics and stuff.
Yeah, like the law of God, why am I drawing a
productivity
blank on
like nutrition?
No, like Newtonian physics, actually, like physics principles, like
physics,
you like just say physics. The law of inertia, thermodynamic law of God, why can't I think of this?
Because you didn't have your alpha brain today, buddy.
I know, man.
It doesn't matter. But I know what you're talking about.
But it's like so like the law of gravity is like a natural law, right? The law of give and take, like to every action there is an equal and opposite reaction, right? Like those are laws of nature. Just as those laws of nature exist, Hayek is saying that there are laws of economics that you cannot overcome. You can fight them for a little bit, just like we could get into a spaceship for a little bit and overcome gravity, but eventually it's going to run out of fuel and have to come back down. Or... You know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can only overcome nature for so long. He's saying the same thing with economics, is that there are actually economic laws that are like gravity. And that boom and bust cycle is a economic principle that you cannot, you might be able to delay it, but you cannot put it off forever.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point, I mean, if we were under a Marxist fucking economy, right? Control and stuff like government can't do shit right. Name something government ever fucking does right, okay?
Well, they've tried. Socialist governments have tried. And they've honestly tried. They've gotten all their experts to try to get in and they've tried to determine price and they dictate price from the top, where price, the true way it's dictated, we talked about it earlier, there's market equilibrium for supply and
it
demand.
It balances itself out. There's a balance of life all the time. But like, let's say, for example, we want to take on that Marxist economy ideal. You know, poor Matt over here, he's going to have to cut his Fifth Element Lance Bass haircut with a Flowbee, and he'd be stuck.
I couldn't imagine.
It's 2017, we're using Flowbee technology for that haircut. It fucking sucks, right?
That would totally suck, man. I'm so attached to this.
There's so much better ways to do things.
Thank you. All right, so
I like to take it back. I take my jokes back to. You
know, I like full circle.
Yes,
it's absolutely. Very nice.
That's where balance takes us. That's what the yin and the yang is in a circle. You know?
The thrust, the ebb and flow.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's expansionary fiscal policy, and that's Keynesianism. Basically, it's let's get more money out there. Decrease taxes, increase spending. Then there's also contractionary fiscal policy, where you increase taxes and you decrease spending. And in Europe, that was known as austerity measures. You ever hear that term?
Yeah, austerity. Yes, I remember that
austerity
one.
Austerity is contractionary fiscal policy. So contractionary is where you increase taxes and decrease spending. And that's when a government is in real panic, because they have to pay off their debts, because they can't pay that interest on the bonds. And it becomes, you hear about Greece, Italy, France, some of these countries. This is why Britain bailed out of the European Union, is because these things are happening. So it gets more exciting the more we know about this, because I'm going to start relating this to world economics and different countries and what they're doing with their currencies, expansionary policies, contractionary policies. But like we said with the governmental structure episode, if we can't have we have to have the base knowledge. Now we're starting to get into some more complicated stuff, and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, but I mean, if they fuck it up, it's like Greece, for example. Now my fucking yogurt's more expensive. It sucks.
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you do? You know, what do you do about that?
But just don't eat yogurt. Fuck that.
Have shitty shits.
I want my Chobani, dude. Fucking love that shit.
Chobani. I want my Oikos, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, some Greek weird shit. Yeah.
So anyways, that's a fiscal policy. I'm going to play a little song for you guys, and it's a spoof on it's a rap battle of Hayek versus Keynes.
Mm.
A rat.
Freddy.
Keynes.
Hey, listen, party at the Fed.
Already? 20 minutes.
Lobby.
John Maynard Keynes.
F.A. Hayek.
Yeah,
we're opposed.
We oppose each other philosophically.
In the same studio.
We've been going back and forth for a century.
I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirits. John Maynard Keynes wrote the book on modern macro. The man you need when the economy's off track. Depression, recession, now your question's in session. Have a seat and I'll school you with one simple lesson. Boom, 1929, the big crash. We didn't bounce back, economy's in the trash. Persistent unemployment, the result of sticky wages. Waiting for recovery?
Seriously?
That's outrageous. I had a real plan, any fool can understand. The advice real simple, boost aggregate demand. CIG altogether gets to Y. Keep that total growing, watch the economy fly.
We've been going back and forth for a century.
I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirit. You see, it's all about spending. Hear the register, cha-ching. Circular flow, the dough is everything. So if that flow is getting low, doesn't matter the reason. We need more government spending. Now it's stimulus season, so forget about saving. Get it straight out of your head. Like I said, in the long run, we're all dead. Savings is destruction, that's the paradox of thrift. Don't keep money in your pocket or that growth will never live. Because business is driven by the animal spirits. The bull and the bear, and there's reasons to fear its effects on capital. Capital investment, income, and growth. That's why the state should fill the gap with stimulus, both the monetary and the fiscal. They're equally correct. Public works, digging ditches, war has the same effect. Even a broken window helps the glass man, have some wealth, the multiplier driving higher the economy's health. And if the central bank's interest rate policy tanks, a liquidity trap, that new money stuck in the banks, deficits could be the cure you've been looking for. Let the spending soar, now that you know the score. My general theories made quite an impression. Revolution. I transformed the econ profession. You know me, modesty. Still, I'm taking a bow. So say it loud and say it proud. We're all Keynesians now.
We've been going back and forth for a century.
I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it.
I made my case, Freddie H. Listen up, can you hear it?
I'll begin in broad strokes, just like my friend Keynes. His theory conceals the mechanics of change. That simple equation, too much aggregation, ignores human action and motivation. As a justification for bailouts, payoffs by poles with machinations. You provide them with cover to sell us a free lunch. Then all that we're left with is debt and a bunch. If you're living high on that cheap credit hog, don't look for a cure from the hair of the dog. Real savings come first if you want to invest. The market coordinates time with interest. Your focus on spending is pushing on thread. In the long run, my friend, it's your theory that's dead. So sorry there, buddy, if that sounds like invective. Prepare to get schooled in my Austrian perspective.
We've been going back and forth for a century. I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirit.
The place you should study isn't the bust. It's the boom that should make you feel leery. That's the thrust of my theory. The capital structure is key. Malinvestments wreck the economy. The boom gets started with an expansion of credit. The Fed sets rates low. Are you starting to get it? That new money is confused for real loanable funds. But it's just inflation that's driving the ones who invest in new projects like housing construction. The boom plants the seeds for its future destruction. The savings aren't real. Consumption's up too. And the grasping for resources reveals there's too few. So the boom turns to bust as the interest rates rise. For the cost of production, price signals relies. The boom was a binge. That's a matter of fact. Now it's devalued capital that makes up the slack. Whether it's the late 20s or 2005, booming bad investments seems like they'd thrive. You must save to invest. Don't use the printing press, or a bust will surely follow. An economy depressed. Your so-called stimulus will make things worse. Just more of the same. More incentives perverse. And that credit crunch ain't a liquidity trap. Just a broke banking system. I'm done. That's a wrap.
We've been going back and forth for a century. I want to steer markets.
I want them set free. There's a boom and bust cycle and good reason to fear it. Play low interest rates.
It's the animal spirits. The ideas of economists and political philosophers, both when they are right and when they are wrong, are more powerful than is commonly understood. Indeed, the world is ruled by little else. Practical men who believe themselves to be quite exempt from any intellectual influence are usually the slaves of some defunct economist.
The curious task of economics is to demonstrate to men how little they really know about what they imagine they can design.
They've been going back and forth for a century.
They've been going back and forth for a century.
Okay. Well, that was harsh. We go from Red, Gold, Green to badass hip-hop song to that. I mean, okay, the message was good.
Yeah.
But there's some things, like, white people shouldn't do. And that's rap.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, like, fucking rap. Zeke's making a rap about biology in high school. Like, he had to do a yeah, rap for sure. The class. Yeah.
My name is Zeke, and I'm
yeah, I mean, come on, white people. Let's,
Let's step up the our rap game
American
a little
culture
bit.
Have their fucking culture. I mean, Chuck Berry just died for fucking Christ's sakes, you know?
Yeah.
And well, the Beatles get all the credit for rock and roll? Fuck
I heard
that.
This one the other day. Not that I even care, really care, but I heard Eminem is the best-selling rapper of all time.
Yeah, I believe that.
That's crazy. I mean, he's a good rapper.
Yeah, he's good. But
he's a niche rapper, though. He's got his sound. He doesn't deviate from his sound, which is, you know, I guess that's good, too. You know, I don't know.
You remind me of Eminem sometimes.
Why?
You just have that look. Like, you have that look with it. Your hair. Back when you used to bleach your hair.
I have short blonde hair. I think Nick loves it.
Yeah. It's taking me back when I first met you. It was like, you know. But I don't know, like, Yeah, of course Eminem's really good. Like, he read the dictionary. Like, he would read dictionaries to find words and the meanings to make it rhyme and stuff.
Really?
But see, I mean,
I tried that just because I wanted to kind of increase my vocabulary. I personally can't retain it. Any of these words
you have to use them.
You have to use them in context. You have to know them in context to be able to. I'll read a cool article. I'll be like, that's fascinating. What's this mean? Cool. And then usually it's locked in. I don't even have to try a learning process. It just gets, if you're learning it like as part of an active part of learning, it just gets locked in.
I have weird theories about, life or whatever. But like, I feel like for something to make sense, white people love it when shit rhymes, right? Like, out here we have click it or ticket. You don't click that seatbelt, you're going to get a ticket. Like, you know, there's always some redneck dumb shit.
Well, if
you
it
know.
Rhymes, it must be true. Hmm.
But then you have these fucking dumb fuck country people that are like, think that tractor rhymes with faster, and this guy gets a fucking Grammy. Like, they play this song all the time.
I don't know the song.
You could take a ride on my big green tractor, make it go slow, or make it go faster.
Oh, see, that's why I don't listen
to country. That is fucking country music today, and it's like...
I think I said on one of our other shows, I think country music is like the sandbox for music. It's like preschool. Musically, it's preschool. It is...
Well, the shit that plays on the radio now, I agree with you. But there is great country artists. Like, there's this guy, Chris Stapleton. Dude... He fucking kicks ass.
Hey.
What is that?
That's why our sound's all fucked up.
A live mic under the street. Under
that's
the
why
table.
Our sound's all fucked up. I kicked the fucking microphone and...
Dude. Our guest mic was on. Sorry about that, everybody. Do you think... I hope everybody's been hearing this fucking fuzz going on.
Let's see if this stops.
I heard a little click, but we'll see. Okay, but here's the thing.
Well...
Music better. Is generally all the same. Like, you're a guitar player, drummer, right? If you want to play a hit punk rock song, hit heavy metal song, hit country song, whatever, they all play the same chord structures and everything else.
It's a 1-4-5 progression.
Yes. So all your music is the same. It's music. I love music. Except I'm not a techno guy. I can't get down with that shit.
Yeah.
But the things that they play on the country fucking stations is so disgusting.
But that's why most people like it, is because it's simple. They don't have to know much about music. It's the sandbox. It's preschool.
It's fucking horrible.
It's musical.
Literally,
preschool.
Tractor and faster.
You
and people are like, hell yeah, buddy.
You're damn right. And if you don't like it, you can get out. Yeah, no, that's... stupid. I don't want to be associated with those people.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's nuts. That's stupid. You live such a long life. What do these people spend their life doing? Because what do they learn? What do they fucking learn?
I think
learn?
It's like, it's safe. It's mellow. I don't know what the fuck, dude. Like, I'm embarrassed I know the fucking lyrics.
Yeah,
I just sing
bad,
the whole
dude.
Goddamn song
I'd
right
be,
now.
I'd be pretty embarrassed.
But I heard it and go, people fucking like this. This is our country. This is where we live now.
Yeah.
Same with rap. Rap now.
Yeah.
You can make a hit song out of this.
Meet me at the mall.
I'll be the music. You be the rapper.
I'm really tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when I used to have rap battles with my friends in like first grade. When, like, Vanilla Ice and Milli Vanilli were fucking, I don't know.
Fuck. But good thing it sucks because there is great hip-hop out there. There is great rock and roll. And there actually is good country.
But guess what?
To be honest with you, I don't even listen to fucking terrestrial radio. Like, I hear it every once in a while, and it bothers me.
You like some of the more, alien space stuff.
And I don't want to sound like some goddamn douchebag fucking hipster again. But it's just like,
but I like my ideas with jalapeno and infused foam.
No, I'll curl my mustache the way I like. Thank you.
Upwards.
In my awkward fucking glasses that I don't even need vision correction. But hipster it out. Whatever. Fuck.
No, it's fine.
Like, what are we doing? What are we doing, dude? What the fuck?
You know what a lot of it is attention. Like, the hipster thing is, a lot of that's attention.
I wear weird skinny suspenders and roll my tight jeans up with these old boots and curl my mustache. Yeah. and ride a scooter. Like, cool. What?
You're cracking me up.
But...
Well, let's digress a little bit. We can bullshit in a little bit. Let's finish the talk that we said we were going to finish.
But to finish this whole thought off with country and everything, Chris Stapleton is really good.
Okay.
Okay. We got that shit on vinyl. It was the bomb.
Well, I like Jason Stapleton. He's a podcaster.
Ooh.
Definitely into his show.
You're right.
He's bomb.
He hit us up, dude. He hit us up on our Twitter, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually, if I don't miss, if there's any podcast I don't miss his. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I don't miss it. Like, I always listen
to
every
subscribe show. To it and you're on it. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as being able to catch up on all of the important news that's going out there, it's the best.
Yeah. He's cool. I don't listen to him that much, but I like Tom Woods. He's a favorite of mine. Yeah. I like that guy.
Yeah.
I used to listen to, what was his fucking name?
Did you do Stefan Molyneux?
Yeah, that guy.
That dude's smart, man.
He's very smart, but...
You hear some of the jokes he tells just behind his breath, and it's like, wow, he's a clever dude.
Yeah. I like to think he's a lot like myself.
Yeah, very much so.
It's fucking intense. Yep.
Okay, so... We talked about fiscal policy, and that's how Congress and the administration can affect the economy. The other way is monetary policy. That's how the Federal Reserve can affect the economy or what they do to the economy. So their whole goal when they created the Fed and they had the Federal Reserve Act back in 1913 was that the purpose of the Federal Reserve was to stabilize inflation, stabilize price levels, and stabilize inflation, keep inflation to a certain amount, and also interest rates. So we'll talk about that. That's their task, and we'll talk about the tools that they use in order to accomplish that task, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, going into this, you guys have to know I am a huge opponent of the Fed. It's a private company. All secret society members pretty much were in the founding of this company. This is company's owners were the Bank of England, who we separated from during the Revolutionary War. And this is just another way for those monarchs and this aristocracy to gain control of our society again, which they very easily did through the Federal Reserve Act.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We both have said we're against the Marxist idea of economics, obviously, right? That's the government controlling the money system. Why are you opposed to a private organization running?
I'm opposed to it being illegal that you and me can't make our own money system.
Mm-hmm.
That gold and silver now are not considered currency.
Yeah, you know, but it's supposed to be gold-based.
Any money that you make on the exchange rate of gold is taxed at a capital gains rate. You know, it's viewed as like an investment. It's not viewed as money, you know. And Federal Reserve notes are the only thing legally considered money now. I have a problem with that because it's a monopoly. It's a monopoly on money. Fair enough.
Yeah, and also the way it's manipulated, like the way our market can be manipulated for their gains, and like they have their hand in everything.
If everybody knows it's being manipulated, then the free market would go, all right, let's go to a different currency. Oh, well, you can't, because through the Federal Reserve Act, they have a monopoly on the money supply, and they're able to actually legally shove out competitors, and they've done it. There's a bunch of examples where people have tried to come up with alternate currencies, and if it gets big enough, whoosh, gone.
Like Bitcoin.
Yep. There's guys that have tried to make like silver Liberty coins. Totally, they raided his house. They raided his place and just confiscated his whole stock.
Yeah.
So it's like $7 million worth of silver Liberty coins he was trying to make. He was trying to do what we advocate on this show. But it was a competing currency. You can't do that. See, I have a problem with that. I think that everybody should be able to use whatever type of currency they want to.
Yeah, I mean, it could be trade, for example.
Could be. But the problem with barter is, like we talked about on our money podcast, is that you have that...
It's not easy.
And there's like a... there's a principle. It's called like difference of wants or something like that, that you can't buy a car in potatoes because nobody's going to need that many potatoes.
Yeah, like if I'm a welder and I want, and you're a car salesman, like you build cars, well, you would need a welder for that. That's a fucking horrible analogy.
But would I need that much welding to pay for a car? No.
There's a lot of welding in a car. So I would have to like weld the whole frame to trade for my car. Like my labor would go towards the car.
Let's say you sold necklaces.
Puka shell ones?
And you wanted a car.
Yeah.
Would you be able to sell me enough necklaces to buy a car?
If there were badass 90s puka shell ones, maybe.
Do you think I want that many necklaces? That Guy Fieri
probably still wears. Yeah.
No. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I used a fucking horrible analogy. But, like a farmer. Let's say you sold tacos. How do you cure everything you need? Like, if you sold tacos, you'd have to, like, raise the beef, have a fucking garden to make the taco, the onions and the cilantro to put on the tacos, and flour and grain to make the flour tortillas and all that.
You'd be a fool to just make tacos if you went through all that trouble. You would sell hamburger patties. You'd be a fool to just do tacos, right?
Let's just say Mexican food then.
Mexican food. Okay.
I couldn't trade... For a house, like, okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm a taco guy. I make tacos.
Nobody wants that many tacos. That's a difference in wants. That's why there's currency. That's why you would go, okay, I'll buy a house in currency.
Have you ever been to Taco King, dude?
King Taco. Hell yeah.
It's the bomb, dude.
It is the bomb.
Like, I love King Taco, but King Taco does not love me.
Have you had their chicharron?
No, I didn't know they had that shit. They
got it. It's
I always think the El Pastor tacos with the hot sauce, and I can't sleep at night because the heartburn.
But dude, their chicharron, it's almost like meat candy.
So there is a need for tacos. You could absolutely sell enough tacos.
Of course, I didn't say that. I didn't say there wasn't a need, but there's a difference in wants. Is that demand. You don't want as much? Like if you did potatoes,
I want a taco right now.
I can't give you that. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding.
We gotta go to King Taco.
I wish there was one out here.
Yeah, fuck.
Okay, Nick.
Back on track. Let's get back on track.
But we kind of get that. That the Federal Reserve is in charge of monetary policy. Now, what they do with monetary policy is... Because we talked about the money creation process, the Federal Reserve is actually the group that's in charge of introducing money into the system. So they're now the gatekeeper of how much money gets put into the system and how much money gets pulled out of the system. When they put money into the system, they're buying bonds. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're buying bonds for Federal Reserve notes. The government spends those Federal Reserve notes into the economy. When they are pulling money out of the system, they're selling bonds. And when they sell bonds, they sell them for Federal Reserve notes. And they pull money out of the system. And there's a whole reason why they do that. It's not just... A lot of it's to make money, too. Because bond prices have an inverse relationship to the bond yields have an inverse relationship to the bond prices, but that's a different show. Complicated, different show. People, if you want to look that up, just look up bond yield and bond prices inverse relationship. So the Federal Reserve, when it wants to... it has three tools of monetary policy. One is open market operations, one is the discount rate, and one is reserve requirements. So the one that'll be most familiar to you guys right now, just because of our last segment is the reserve requirement. We talked about when the people finally get hold of the money, they deposit it into the banks, and those banks can lend out 10 times the amount of money because that's the reserve requirement, right? And we talked about that the Federal Reserve has the power to say, hey, banks, you can lend out 5 times the amount of money that you have on deposit, or 10 times the amount of money, or 20 times the amount of money that you have on deposit. That's the reserve requirement. And the Federal Reserve actually can dictate that. So the Federal Reserve, one of the ways that it can dictate the amount of money that's out in the system is by adjusting the reserve requirement. Because we said that the banks actually make that money out of thin air. They can make that money out of thin air.
It's so just paper.
If the Fed wants more money in the system, they will lower the reserve requirement. If they want more money in the system, sorry, if they want less money in the system, they'll raise the reserve requirement. They'll say you need, you know, you can only lend out $5 for every dollar you have. That's one way. Now, they hardly ever do that. So that hardly exists. The main thing that they do to adjust the money supply is it's called open market operations, OMO. And what they're trying to do with this is they have a target interest rate. And so when you see on the news, hey, the Federal Reserve decided to raise interest rates 0.25%. This is what actually happens. It's called open market operations. Well, what did we talk about? What increases interest rates? It's less supply of money in the system, right? It's that money gets more rare. The price of money goes up. And they target 0.25%. That means they're going to introduce a certain amount of more money. How do they introduce that much more money? They actually they buy bonds. The bonds come from the government, and then they issue Federal Reserve notes. So they just introduced more money into the system. When they introduced more money into the system, it actually would make interest rates go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they want to take money out of the system, they make money more scarce, right?
Yeah,
and that would increase interest rates.
Yeah.
So in order to make money more scarce, to pull money out of the system, they sell bonds. And that's what Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC. When they meet, they say, hey, we're going to adjust interest rates 0.25%. And that's what they do. It's just a play on buying or selling bonds. And that, through buying and selling bonds, they do so much. They deal with such massive amounts of it that alone affects the currency in circulation enough to influence interest rates. Okay? Now, what that interest rate is that they affect is it's called the federal funds rate. So you'll hear about the talking about the federal funds rate. That's done through open market operations. So let's see if we got that down, okay? Because it's fairly complicated, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Like, it's all good.
You are?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it's something that people we need to like be more aware of with the interest rates and stuff like that. Like, there's talk about it all coming up now, you know. And a lot of people do believe that Trump's going to help our economy. we'll see, you know.
Well, what he also said, the big one that he said, and if for the people that are savvy out there, they hear him say, China is manipulating their currency.
Yeah.
And we have to get them back. Well,
they've always done that, though. We've known about this.
Everybody does. Look at this. Look at what we're talking about.
Like,
everybody.
Why is everything made in China? But like, look at life in China is not great.
He's talking shit about their monetary policy has been expansionary solely. Is that they have always been adding more money supply into their system, and so it does a few things. It it increases their exports because it makes their goods cheaper because they have inflation. When you have inflation, your currency gets devalued compared to other currencies. Like we say on this show, why people should buy silver and gold is because through inflation, our government is devaluing our currency because they're putting more of it into the system. China's been doing that for a long time. But our Federal Reserve does do that. Mm-hmm. When they want to have an expansionary monetary policy, they introduce more money into the system. So what Trump is saying is that we're probably going to do that. Because he says we're going to battle China, who's been manipulating their currency. So we can expect probably higher levels of inflation and increased expansionary monetary policy. It's essentially more Keynesianism. Because he was running on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just like equal trade values in a way.
Trade values.
I think that's why he's like America first, like. Why are we buying shit from China? We're like, we have way more resources to build things here.
Yeah, we buy them from them because they're cheaper.
Yeah,
because absolutely. They've devalued their currency.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the labor laws are completely different.
And that's how they can make things cheaper as well. Yeah. Government regulation.
We all hate slavery, but we all have iPhones, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Then I'm glad that we're able to actually real life use some of this stuff and it makes sense.
Absolutely.
So the next thing that they can do is actually the Federal Reserve can set the discount rate. So they control the amount of currency in the system, and that affects interest rates. Those interest rates, that Fed funds rate, that's the rate that essentially banks borrow from each other. Okay? And all the other interest rates, your home loan, your car loan, your credit cards, they're all derivatives down the line off of that rate. That banks are able to borrow from each other. And they're all borrowing from each other because of that reserve requirement. A bank will make a bunch of loans, and if they don't have enough money in their coffers to meet that reserve requirement, they will borrow money from the next bank. And that next bank says, yeah, you can have money at this interest rate based off of how scarce money is.
Mm-hmm.
Makes some sense.
Absolutely. It's so funny how we are, you know. Human beings.
It's crazy. It is.
This is a civilization that we've created.
We are the biggest.
We just created this shit.
It's an anthill, but it's so complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, like I'm fucking jealous. Like we're animals. Like nobody wants to believe like we're human beings, but we are a mammal species. Like
just complicated.
Yeah, we're just a little more complicated. But I love the life we have. I love that we have the technology we have and stuff like that. And
if we use it.
Yeah.
If we use it.
It's just hilarious. Like a bear, all he has to do is wake up, chill. Eat a fucking salmon, and sleep.
He's all looking at humans, looking at people like you and me, just stunning all he's this like, stuff.
I could try to build a freeway.
Y'all motherfuckers are crazy.
Yeah.
Gets a salmon. He's like, this is delish. I'm going to go fuck this bear over here and sleep for like 6 months. Peace.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the other thing, the last thing that the Fed can do is it can set the discount rate. So these banks all borrow from each other at that Fed funds rate. But the lender of last resort is always the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is also a bank that these banks can borrow money from. And that's the discount rate. It'll actually, the Federal Reserve will set its own rate. And usually that'll be higher than they're willing to borrow from each other from. And purposely, because they're supposed to borrow from each other, and as a bank of last resort, they'll borrow from the Fed. So those are the three ways that the Federal Reserve dictates monetary policy. Either by setting that discount rate, by open market operations, that's buying and selling of bonds, and by adjusting the reserve requirements. That is our show. Now, it's a lot of stuff. That was a lot of stuff, right? But we were able to cram it in 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I had a great time. I don't know about you.
Do you feel like you know more now about the economics?
Yeah, like Because I've been wanting to like
do that really is how it works.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do a lot more like investing and stuff like that, like play the market a little bit. And it's just like that's a cool way to think about things. You
Same
know?
Here. I've actually been looking at doing Forex. Forex is where you exchange the different values of currencies in relation to each other. So I have like a little demo account going on right now. And
sweet.
Yeah, it's fun. You go dollar for yen. And if the yen increases in value, then you cash that in. You know what I mean? And that's a win. Or, you know what I mean? Based off of what governments do and their monetary policies, that increase or decrease in their monetary policy increases the value of their currencies. And that value is really recognized in the Forex market.
Dude, I need to, like, I've never been on a badass vacation ever. Like, you know, my girlfriend's always mad at me. And we're going to do it. I'm going to plan a fucking cool trip. But, dude, I would love to go visit Japan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or, you know, I want to see, like, crazy parts of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Why not?
Go with us this year. We're doing Cancun.
Oh, I'm fucking way down for that.
We're doing that.
I was going to hit up Cabo. Like, I told Marina, like...
Cabo's awesome.
Dude, babe, let's go to Cabo, you know? Because you can party. My vacations are this.
Fish.
Yeah, I want to go fishing. Because I'm an active guy. I like to be active, you know? We could get some ATCs or something. Did I say ATC? Bop, ATVs.
Bop.
Yeah. ATCs are the old three-wheelers, but those are the bomb. But yeah, dude, you're right. When are you going to Cancun, dude?
This summer.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in the planning phases of it.
All right. I'm down for that shit.
Yeah.
But dude, I would love, because like the Japanese culture is very intriguing to me. Like, I guess
gone through some shit historically.
Yeah, but I remember last time, Strung Out played in our town. They're like, "You guys, it's a punk show." Like, it was in this warehouse. It was like really cold. They're like, "What's up, Japan caster?" Like, they compared us to Japan because we're like, Japan's so polite. You know, like Asians get a lot of shit for being bad drivers, but what it turns out to is they're being polite, like, and they're like afraid to, like, go ahead. And I seen this thing, I guess. What's up? I'll hit that up. Yeah.
Do you mind hitting that when you're done with that?
And I don't know if this is true or not. This is why I want to go there. Gotcha. In Japan, they don't have janitors at the school, so if you're like in a public school, the kids clean everything up. So this creates a culture of like, well, I'm not going to spit my fucking gum out or, you know, tag nothing because we clean it. So, I don't know. I've always thought that was interesting. But, anyways, we're wrapping up the show and we absolutely appreciate you downloading the show. We hope you had a great time. We have a lot of fun doing this show. As you know, it's hit and miss. We don't have a set schedule, but that's what freedom's all about. You know, just enjoy your life. We're all busy. But we do love hearing from everybody. We've gotten some great emails with great questions, great input. So if you would like to email us, hit us up at thebeaconpodcast@gmail.com. We appreciate that. We're on Twitter at Beacon Podcast. Facebook is the Beacon Podcast. And always on iTunes. We are there. There's also the Beacon Podcast at Blogspot. Feedburner.com/TheBeaconPodcast. Thanks again for the download. We hope you enjoyed it. We love you. Kick ass.
We love you guys so much. We are out of here. We hope you learned something about economics today. And hit us up. Let us know what you think. This is our way of summarizing it and putting it in our own words and making it real for us and trying to make it entertaining for you. The process is meant to awaken people that have been asleep for too long and have that just go through their lives and they think that the world exists a certain way and it doesn't. And we're showing the proof that there's a whole world outside of what people know. So keep learning, keep challenging yourself, and what would you like? Stay woke.
Keep on keeping on, brother.
All right, people. We love you. Peace.
Peace.
Hold on. Before we do that, I'm going to do
What the fuck?
I want to do this quick little clip, and then we'll go into that last song.
This show is like, remember we're talking about the 90s music and we had CDs and stuff?
Yeah.
When there'd be the last song, but there was a bonus track.
Yes, this is it.
This is the bonus track, dude.
You guys get the bonus track. There's some awesome stuff going on in the news right now. On your mainstream news is starting to, it has something really cool going on. We love you guys, and peace out.
Peace.
Now, in a desperate attempt to fill 24 hours of programming, here's some bullshit that happened somewhere today. We've got some footage here of the bullshit, which began just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, when residents in this neighborhood were shocked to see this fairly common thing happening. An attractive witness described the event in breathless terms.
I went to my window, and I was like, whoa, there's some bullshit happening.
That happened right over there. I'm an older man, so you can trust what I say.
Authorities in special uniforms rushed to the scene to stand around while our cameras filmed them. Our reporter Keith Collins joins us now live from the scene of the bullshit through the use of expensive technology. Good to be with you again, Keith. We have a colorful graphic here that shows instances of bullshit like this are on the rise. Is that right?
Yes, although why is unclear. Some say it's because of one fucking reason. Others say it's because of some other fucking reason. I talked to this random expert on the subject who told me this thing you're about to hear him say right after he points at a piece of paper.
I spent my entire life attending the nation's most prestigious schools to talk about bullshit like this. I'm really just happy to be on TV.
Now let's see if we can drag this out a little longer by showing emails written by some of our viewers. I once saw some stuff kind of like the shit you're talking about happen. I have nothing more to add. Another person says, I am angry that things like this happen. I get mad about every bullshit thing I see. So, obviously, a lot of opinions there to make this story seem somewhat meaningful.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. This bullshit has some broader implications. Here's a list of tips on how to avoid bullshit happening to you.
And here's some footage of Congress.
Yes, I see that.
Well, thank you, Keith. Let us know if there are any updates on this bullshit story from there.
There's no way there will be.
Very good. We'll check back with you in an hour anyway.
I'm just some fucking guy.
When we return, we'll look at live footage of a car chase taken from a helicopter and free associate about what's going on.
This was meant to happen, but soon this will be.